Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in.
Welcome to week 9 of our 11-week series on the Ten Commandments. If you're doing the math on that, don't, because it doesn't make sense, and we're proud of that, okay? This is just one of the things we decided to do. We do things out of order. Now, if you're just joining us, one of the reasons we decided to jump into the Ten Commandments in the first place is because the Ten Commandments are some of the most misunderstood and really misconstrued passages of Scripture out there. If you've ever heard them quoted, typically you might hear it from someone who's very religious, who's trying to impose the demands of them upon others, but there's a deeper, richer meaning behind all of this. And the Ten Commandments, we want everyone here to understand that the Ten Commandments issued by God for his people are not conditional statements. These are not conditional statements. God's not saying, if you do this, then you will be my children. The Ten Commandments are really a covenant, a promise, and they're a set of guidelines and really guardrails to keep God's children on track and to prevent them from destroying themselves. Another way to look at it is God is saying, we're a family, and here's how things are going to be in our house. And the big picture, 30,000-foot macro-level view that we've been talking about, if someone asks you what the Ten Commandments mean, here's our big takeaway from the entire series. God isn't trying to make us good. He's trying to make us free. That's the big picture behind the Ten Commandments. So our topic today is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So we're gonna look at what I believe are three reasons why we need Sabbath. And then we're gonna close with how we get Sabbath, how we get from why it's important to actually applying it and practicing it. So I'm gonna read for you. This is Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. So the big idea behind this commandment seems pretty simple at face value. Rest. Don't do any work for 1 day a week. But what I find so fascinating about this commandment is that the rest of the commandments are thou shalt not statements. That don't kill anyone, don't cheat, don't lie, don't steal. But this commandment is prescribing rest for you and I. It's saying you need to rest as a repeated action. So let me ask you something. Who or what is a holy person to you? Who's a holy person to you? What qualities would that person possess? Nobility? Okay, yeah. Hey, you know what? Let's call a few out. Let's hear. Anybody else? Who or what is a holy person to you? Humility. Humility, okay. Righteousness, cool. One more? Okay, honesty, yeah. Those are all qualities of a holy person. You know, the encompassing love of neighbor, generosity, morality, all of these good things. We would say that that is a holy person, right? But we wouldn't ever say, wow, I really admire that person because they know how to not work. They're just really good at taking a day off. We don't think rest is holy. We think it's lazy. American society is driven by the work ethic, especially here in New York. We all know that. And if we're really honest with ourselves, I think that this commandment is the one that we as a culture ignore the most. Traditional societies were rooted in the idea that you took your identity from who you were within the family, as a husband or wife, a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, son, daughter, whatever that was, that's part of who you were. Work wasn't nearly as important. You only needed to work so you could support your family. But we're the first culture in history that says you get to define who you are based on what you do. And within that, you will find significance. And so there's enormous emotional and psychological and social pressure for work to be satisfying. And if it isn't satisfying, it should at least be lucrative, right? At least you're earning something from it. And it drives this need to prove ourselves to ourself. or to others, and so we work harder, hoping that we'll be satisfied or at least recognized in that work. In fact, if you examine the last 100 years, companies in the last 100 years, you're going to see a trend. 100 years ago, if you worked at the top level of the company, you made around 10 to 20 times the amount than the person at the bottom of the company did. Nowadays, fast forward 100 years, that number is like 100 to 200 times that amount. So if you're at the top of the company, you are expected to put in a ton of hours, and if you don't, there's a line of people younger and hungrier than you waiting to take your job. And if you're at the bottom of the company, then you need to work multiple jobs just to earn a living wage. But it doesn't matter where you are on that scale, because in the end, everybody is overworked. And now, thanks to technology, many of us can work anywhere. So what do we do with that? We work everywhere. We just bring the office with us wherever we go. Our work-life balance is completely lopsided. Have you ever stopped to think why we're working so hard? Why are we working so hard? Is it really about income? Because I think there's more to it than that. I think we're trying to know who we are. Because like it or not, we build our standards on an image of ourselves, and we spend our life trying to cultivate that image. We're having to reassure ourselves that we're significant, having to prove ourselves. But the reality is that that work is never finished. No amount of work is ever going to be enough. Now, sure, you might have moments where you're proud of yourself, but there's always tomorrow. We've tied our identity to our productivity. This is part of the human condition, and it's why God has prescribed Sabbath rest for us. Now look, I want to say this. Is work important? Yeah, absolutely it is. And are there times in your life that you're going to need to work hard? Of course, definitely. But we need Sabbath and rest to remind us that your productivity is not your identity. So that's the first reason why I believe we need Sabbath. And I can already see out in the audience here, some of the wheels turning for you workaholics, because you're like, how can I possibly rest if I haven't finished my work? Hear me on this. You don't work so you can rest. You rest so you can work. Our talents, our abilities, our callings, what we bring to this world comes out of rest, out of Sabbath. And this brings us to what I believe is the second reason why we need Sabbath. Surrender is sacred. Here's what I mean by that. I'm going to read you again verse 11 from that Exodus chapter. We don't have to put it on the screen. Just hear me out on this. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. So the creation narrative is mentioned here. Whether or not you think that's literal or allegorical, that's a sermon for another day. Don't let that distract you. What we see here, the big takeaway from this, is that the omnipotent creator of the universe values rest. How misguided are we to think that we don't need that, that we're good? Society tells us that surrender is weakness, that it's cowardice. You just need to muscle through to achieve your goals. It's the American dream. You just work hard, you can have whatever you want. And yet, we as Christians follow a Savior who is in constant surrender. Because if you look to the example of Jesus, you'll see how much time he spends with people. He's walking with them, talking with them, healing, praying, discipling. He's doing all those things, but in between those moments, he is resting. He is quiet, contemplative moments with the Father. It doesn't matter if you're a cop, an author, a writer, a teacher, a construction worker, or even a pastor, rest is requisite. Rest is requisite. So the question becomes, do you trust God enough to rest? Do you trust God enough to rest? Because we believe we have to stay late, that we have to work that overtime shift, that we have to create, that we have to write something profound on social media. And what you're really saying is, thanks, but no thanks, God. I'm good on my own. Because if I don't do the things that I think are important to me, my life isn't going to go in the direction that I want. I am firmly in control of my own destiny. I know better, and I'll rest when I'm ready. And what God is saying to us through the example of Jesus Christ is, you don't rest because you finished your work. You rest because I finished my work. Every good and perfect thing about you comes from me. I did the saving. I do the important things. So just trust and rest in me. We, you and I, we bear the image of the divine. And when we are resting, we're reminding ourselves that there is more to us than our work. Sabbath is more than just rest. It is recognition and remembrance of the God who saves. This is why surrender is sacred. Surrender is sacred. Which brings us to what I believe is the third reason why we need Sabbath. Breathing is believing. Breathing is believing. So here's what I mean by that. When you exercise or exert yourself, your body requires more oxygen, not just for the work that you've done, but for what you still have left to do. You need to get that oxygen circulating through your system. When we enter the sleep cycle, our body, our brain waves, and our muscle activity decrease, and our heart rate and our body temperature are lowered, and the systems that power the body go into a recovery mode, except for breathing. Breathing is required always. Have you ever tried to do anything without breathing? Doesn't work. You need to breathe all the time. And so I learned a very valuable lesson on the importance of breathing when I was 8 years old. I'm gonna share this story with you. It's a true story, but I want you to bear in mind, I'm going to share this story from two different versions. Version number one. I was 8 years old and I was caught in a dream. And it was a terrible dream because I couldn't see. Everything was black in front of me. I felt like my eyes were open in this dream, but everything was pitch black. And I began to feel a pain under my jaw, around my neck, and around the back of my neck. The only thing I could describe it as an eight-year-old was a vice-like grip closing in and compressing my neck. And I tried to breathe. I tried to inhale sharply, but I couldn't get any air into my lungs. It was like I was pulling air into my mouth, but it wouldn't drop down into my lungs. I couldn't breathe. I was caught in this vice grip. And so I brought my arms up and tried to free myself from this metal vice grip, and I couldn't get my hands around it. I couldn't manipulate it. I couldn't do it. I tried again to free myself. Couldn't do it. And so the next thing I tried to do was call for help. So I tried to take a deep breath in, but no air was getting into my lungs. So I couldn't cry out. I couldn't speak. Every time I tried to scream, it just came out as a whisper. And then things really started to hurt. I started to get dizzy. And in one final act of desperation, I brought my arms up and I tried to free myself, exerting myself as much as possible while my eyes were open. And the only thing I could describe is, although I was seeing black, ugly purple and blue flowers began to blossom at the corners of my vision. I don't know what this feeling was because I was only 8 years old and I didn't know what dying felt like, but I'm pretty sure that this was happening to me. But I thought this couldn't be because it's all a dream, right? Version number two. Lucy, my mom, had just gone to bed after a long day. Her kids were asleep, the house was in order. It had been a tiring, exhausting day, and she was looking forward to going to sleep. And as she laid down to fall asleep, she felt an overwhelming sense of fear and panic grip her. Something was very wrong, but she didn't know what. She would go on to describe a sensation of someone pulling her, just shoving her out of her bed. And in this panic, she ran from her bed, ran down the hall, threw open the door to her children's bedroom, and saw me, her son, hanging by his neck between the support bars of his bunk bed. His body had slipped through and he was hanging there. She ran over, grabbed my legs, pushed me up, pushed me onto the bed. And I remember, again, this is a dream for me. It was like I could suddenly breathe again. Air filled my lungs. I was able to breathe and I was so exhausted from fighting so hard, I immediately fell asleep. I don't think Lucy slept well that night, but the next day, when we went to the doctor, an examination revealed that in addition to the tissue damage that I'd done around my neck, I had actually bruised my vocal cords because I was trying to speak, trying to cry out, and nothing would happen. I couldn't get any air into my lungs. Didn't matter how hard I was fighting, I couldn't breathe. We both learned an important lesson that day. Number one, some of those old school bunk beds are crazy dangerous and you should get rid of them now, okay? It's lesson number one. But number two, and more importantly, we need to breathe if we hope to survive. We need to breathe if we hope to survive. Now, I know that there's a miraculous element to my particular story, but have you ever felt trapped? Have you ever felt caught in something? And you try to fight your way out, but you can't do it. You're struggling. You're gasping for air. And so in a moment of desperation, you cry out, hoping for help, but nothing happens. In those moments, if we hope to survive, we have to breathe. That's what Sabbath rest gives us, a reminder to breathe. We're breathing so not only can we survive, but thrive. This is the third reason why we need it. Breathing is believing. By setting aside time to step away from the things that exert or exhaust you, you're caring for and respecting the image of God within yourself and allowing your body and your soul to breathe deeply. That's what Sabbath rest gives us. You are a creation of the Creator. Handcrafted, artisanal, organic image bearer. However you want to look at that. And when you do something that cares for your soul, in addition to respecting the image of God within yourself, you are celebrating how your Creator has wired you. This is how we reconnect with the divine. You are at your best when you rest. And when you're rested, doing so allows you to invest back into a world that needs you. The world needs you. So now that I share with you why I believe we need Sabbath, how do we actually get it? How do we go from conceptual to literal? Is it enough to really just say, I'm gonna take a day off, you know, for Jesus, simple. Is it really that easy? Because I honestly think that there's more to it than that. But let's start with the practical. Start with the practical end of things. Take a Sabbath. Take a day. Do something that feeds your soul. And if you're not sure what that is, spend some time figuring that out. And what I would recommend on the practical end of things is try to balance something avocational with something contemplative. Here's what I mean by avocational. Do something out of the ordinary. If you are a fisherman, if that's your livelihood, don't fish on your Sabbath. If you're a golfer, stay off the green for the day. Do something out of the ordinary and do something contemplative. Here's what I mean by that. Something that requires or inspires you to think and to dream. It could be a book, it could be a good film, it could be a walk in the woods, a day at the beach, something completely unplanned. But whatever it is, just be mindful of what you are immersed in and grateful for the opportunity to do it. Use your time wisely to reconnect with yourself and the one that made you. And on a practical step, just another recommendation, I would really suggest you get involved with your church community. Whether it's a small group or volunteering, you'd be amazed at the direction your life can go from having a valuable relationship with someone else on a spiritual level. You can keep each other accountable for Sabbath time. This is important. So I would recommend that. But more important than the practical outer practices are what's in here, the inner. Sabbath is an act of liberation. There are many times in the Old Testament where God's people are referred to as slaves. And I think there's a takeaway for us there, because if you can't take a day off, then you're already a slave to yourself. You're a slave to your own needs, to your own productivity, to your coworkers or to your boss's expectation of you. If you can't say no to work, you're a slave. Again, we're not talking about income. This is about you and who you are and your own insecurities. Remember, God isn't trying to make us good. He's trying to make us free. So you have to say inside of your heart and in your soul, this is an act of liberation. My work does not define me. I will not be defined by a company. I will not be defined by my clients. Free your mind. And it's not without risk. If you decide to trust God at this level and you really start to practice this, you're gonna risk not meeting your goals. You're gonna risk other people's opinion of you. You're putting a lot of stuff at risk. You're gonna risk falling behind on some work. And what will come of that? I don't know. That's up to God. But I do know that if you trust him enough with those things, then you are being faithful to the practice of Sabbath, and you're no longer trying to manipulate your own self-worth. And as a result, your heart, your mind, and your soul will be at peace because your identity is rooted, first and foremost, that you are a child of God. Now, maybe you're thinking, since I've shared all this with you, that that's a nice idea, but you can't actually do it. Maybe you're thinking, you know what? I don't have enough faith for that. Sorry. And you know what? I have a pretty good work-life balance right now, and I can handle things at this moment. So I don't really need that, or I can't do that. That's too much for me to bear, too much of a burden. I want to encourage you with one thing. These are the words of Jesus, and we're going to close with this. I'm going to share with you a scripture. I'm going to share two versions of it again. And this is Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This yoke that Jesus is speaking of is an apparatus that they used to attach to a beast of burden, like an ox or something that would do a lot of work in the field. And so God is saying, and Jesus is saying, look, if you're going to be with me, if you're going to walk with me, yes, there is a yoke. There is something to bear. But this yoke was always designed for two animals. So even though we're the ox in this situation, God is saying, I'm right with you. I'm going to bear that burden, and it is light. And I will give you the most satisfying, deep richness of the soul when we work together. I'm going to show you how to work hard and how to rest hard. I'm going to give you another version of this. This is Matthew chapter 11. I love this. This is called the Message version because it just kind of breaks it down in a real fun way. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and rightly. May it be so in my life, and may it be so in yours. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful that you have prescribed rest for us, but we stand here and admit that we don't really know how to get it. We're still trying to understand it. We all have responsibilities, pressures, and expectations, and things that we need to deliver on, God. So I pray that in addition to prescribing the rest for us, that we would fill that prescription, Father, that you would show us that our identity is not our productivity. I pray that you would teach us to surrender, to remind us to breathe, and that we would not give in to society's expectations of how we should work. I pray for each and every person in this room, for every different walk of life that we have, Father, that you would show us what it means to practice Sabbath rest. And inside of that, Father, that we would understand that we are your children first and foremost. We love you and praise you. Amen.
Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.